I said, are you with the brothers? He said, Alhamdulillah. I said, you know, the brother Sultan of the Tabligh? He said, Naam, Alhamdulillah, Naam, Alhamdulillah. I wanted to ask him, have you forgot how to speak English? Forgot how to speak English? And wearing sandals? Wearing desert clothes? In Chicago in the dead winter? So that's what happens when we give people physical things before we give them some sense. You first have to reconstruct the mind before you put the burden of symbolism on the people. All praise is due to Allah. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a strong man. He knew how to enforce his will. He made you cut your hair short, wear the suit that he designed, and a bow tie, made you walk and talk like he wanted you to walk and talk. He enforced his will and his mind in the lives of every one of his people to such an extent that no individual had the right even to think for themselves. What I mean by that, you wouldn't even allow yourself the right to think for yourself. I'm talking about those that were really obedient. And I was one of them. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he had to insist upon this degree of discipline. Because he wasn't constructing minds. He was baiting minds. And he used the term fishing. And he used to say sometimes, say, brother, he said, I'm a fisherman. He said, I take the hook and put the bait on there that I know the fish will bite. Not that he wants that bait. He wants the fish to get on the hook. So he gives the fish the bait. He knew the fish would bite. He said, I heard him say one time, he said, I fish with a long pole. He keeps that thing that he's dealing with a distance away from himself. Now, many men, they have to get down into some dirty work. But they don't like to get themselves dirty. If they can do it without getting themselves dirty, they'll use a long pole. You know, they got to dip up something filthy and foul. If you can, you'll take a long pole with a cup at the end of it. And you'll take it and dip it up from a distance. So you don't get it close to yourself. He got his nerve saying all of Elijah Muhammad's work was dirty. Was white supremacy clean? How can you call a black supremacy clean? The white man deserved to be punished. What about the red man? What about the Indian? Was he a party to the crime that you were still holding against America? Black supremacy also punished the Indian. If I am the God, if my form is the best, the Indian is not as good as I am. And you know what you heard. We didn't forget that chief, did we? That the white man was the end of the grafting process. But between the white man and the original man, the black man, was red, brown, red, right? Okay, so the thing deteriorated as it went down. So what what you say when you hold on to that doctrine, you are saying that all people are inferior to you. You're preaching a racism against the Indian, a racism against the Chinese, a racism against everybody but 100% black person. Don't you know that Elijah Muhammad had more sense in his head to eat that bait? He gave it to people that had to use it, that needed it. He didn't have to eat that bait. I know many of you who couldn't stomach being near to a Caucasian. Something happened to the glands. Water come all up in his glands. If he couldn't say anything, he'd just be all messed up, chemistry messed up. I've never seen the Honorable Elijah Muhammad go through such changes. I've seen him sit down at his dining table in the palace and eat and drink with Caucasians. Mr. Herb Kupcinet come to his house, and I saw him sitting there conducting an interview with him in his front room, and they both drinking out of cups, coffee cups, and the Mr. Kupcinet cup had gold around it. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's cup had gold around it. I say, this is a mighty... I said, I didn't tell him, though. It wasn't time. I say, this is a mighty man. I say, he teaches black supremacy, but he gives a white man a same golden cup that he drinks out of. That was all right. I thought that was all right. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a wise man. He wasn't a fool. He used the bait of symbolism, but he wasn't a fool. In his last address, he appealed to us. If white people can respect you, respect them. That's what he said. It's impossible for me to respect the white man and call him a devil. That's no respect. Elijah Muhammad was telling us to remember what he'd been telling us, what he had been telling us all along. To do nothing to no one that you wouldn't like to have done to yourself. That's what he used to say every time he finished his speech on a Sunday. He wouldn't conclude that speech until he said, and remember, when you go out of here, do nothing to no one that you wouldn't have done to yourself. Amen. We got to help the nation. Let's go out here and rob this white bank, brother. Let's take from this devil and give it to the nation. You wouldn't follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Hey, brother, let's sell some of this dope, brother. Let's sell it to the disbelievers. You wouldn't follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, do nothing to no one that you would not have done to yourself. And he said, respect the laws of the land. He said, respect those in authority over you. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad preached. He preached it weekly and daily. All of a sudden, the crazy-minded people came up with their own ideas of what the Nation of Islam was all about and took us so far away from our original, good, healthy, religious morals and principles that I had no other alternative but to undo the whole thing and do it all over again. And it was in accord with the promise of our Elijah Muhammad. He said, I'm not teaching you religion now. But he promised us that one would come in the future. He said, another one will come and teach you the religion. That's what he taught us. Well, Chief, what about the mothership? it that you own it? I've dropped out all the 1,500 bombing planes. Each one had three bombs equipped with a drill that no stone, no product in the earth could wear out. And every one of my three bombs went into the surface of this materialistic world and didn't stop until it got to the heart of the matter and blew up mountains a mile high. And now the poison gas has seeped all out. And I see the wicked running for cover, and there is no cover. All praise is due to Allah. Now, in 1977, I'm cutting the shortage in the gravity, spitting the atmosphere of fire. The righteous spirit went out as a poison gas in the nose of the wicked. But now the plain truth is coming out of Bible and Holy Quran, and that's a light that affects the sinner, the wicked, as fire on their flesh, burning up the falsehood in the atmosphere of America and the world. What is a shortage? How do you make a shortage? You make a shortage by bringing together things that were separated. In the electric line, you have to keep the wires separated. And you got the symbolic dressing over those wires to protect them from touching. But once you take the symbolic dressing off those wires, they're going to touch, they get naked. And they're going to touch somewhere, and there's going to be a light, a spark of light. So we cause a shortage by taking the dark symbolism off the truth. Make the truth naked. So when they touch, we see light. Light sparks up. You see? The wicked world, they design the line of truth and falsehood. See, they run truth along with falsehood and put both of them under symbolic covering. And they make it so they connect at the point they want truth and falsehood to connect, to produce the artificial light that they want to produce. But thank God, we have discovered the trick. And the whole atmosphere is afire. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Allahu Akbar. Praises be to Allah. Praises be to Allah.
Yeah, it's a fire, brother. It's a fire. I'm trying to wait till it cools down a little bit. Brothers and sisters, please don't leave yet. Please don't leave yet. Please be seated for just a minute. We haven't dismissed our meeting yet. We got to dismiss just like we came in. We got to pray. After you heard what you heard today, you ought to want to pray. You got a lot to pray for. Is that right? Got a lot to pray for. And if we can't wake up behind that, if we can't see reality behind that, and start to take on a true and a natural growth behind that, they might as well put you in the physical earth. Because you're deader than dead. We'll be deader than dead if we can't understand that. Plain, simple truth. I don't believe we have any further announcements now. Have we received anything further announcements? Okay, we have one announcement. It's from Mawli Muhammad Masjid, number one. And it presents the Mayors and Awards presentation, A Dinner Dance. This will be Saturday, July the 23rd, 1977, from 7 p.m. until 1 a.m. at the Cobo Hall Ballroom, Washington Boulevard. The special guest speaker will be Imam Abdul Halim Farrakhan. Also, we will have, we see we have some other honorees, the wife of our leading teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Sister Shirley Muhammad, Khalila Ali, the Honorable Coleman Young, Mayor of Detroit, William Hart, and many, many others. So if you will, if you are able to, that'll be July 23rd, 1977, in Detroit at the Cobo Hall Ballroom. Please be patient. We're going to dismiss very soon and let you meditate the rest of the day.
Assalamu alaikum. Would everyone please hold your seat? The chief might be back out just for another short few minutes. He has something special he'd like to talk with you about, so would you please just keep your seat, okay?
I think we can be patient behind that. In fact, before he leaves, would you wait just a minute, Mr. Beasley? I want to let you know this was Mr. Beasley, who is of the cabinet of Mayor Perk. He was with us. He's the director of the Department of Public Service, and he was going to make a presentation to our imam if the mayor did not show up. But praise be to Allah, the mayor himself showed up and wanted to give the honor and the key to the city of Cleveland to the Honorable W.D. Muhammad himself. So we thank Mr. Beasley for coming. Thank you. And believe me, brothers and sisters, we hear from sources and people all over the world from all walks of life are very aware of the work that is being done by our leader and teacher. Very aware and very much behind him and his words. From sources that we would never suspect. We have to realize that we have with us in our presence a blessing from God. And we're not worshiping the individual, we're worshiping God's blessing. We're worshiping God's truth. That's what we give our service to, that's what we give our lives to. God's truth. And we thank Almighty God for blessing him, and as we said before, for him having an open heart that he was willing to share God's blessing with us. And to bring us from the things that were causing many, many problems in our lives, to a point where we can see with clear vision God's truth, to the point that it improves our condition, betters our condition, and adds more to our lives. So let us be patient for just a few more minutes, will you?
fear. For fear. For fear. For fear.
As-salamu alaykum.
Dear beloved Muslims, brothers and sisters, I thank you for coming out this afternoon to hear the thoughts that I have expressed here today. And I pray Allah that we all be guided to the right path and be guided more and more in the light of understanding and become stronger and stronger as true Muslims, not in name only, but in mind and in heart, spirit. And that we increase in righteousness, increase ourselves in knowledge, clear knowledge, and spread the light of the Quran, the light of the truth of Islam, to each other, to our communities, until this light fills the whole world. I don't know if you realize the great place that you have in the eyes of the whole world right now. I'm meeting heads of government, I'm meeting heads of religious communities that numbers in millions from east and west and many other places, and they are all paying tribute to us, congratulating us, paying tribute to us, and they are asking us to don't forget them. They like what they see among us, and they feel that we are really a source of salvation for all of them in terms of our clean spirit and our strong faith and courage, if not in terms of our knowledge and understanding. And there are many in high places now who are recognizing the knowledge that has come to us. I was told just a week ago, the Imam, how come you don't stand up? And this was by a foreign Muslim, what we call foreign Muslim from the East. He says, Imam, how come you don't go and ascend the steps there and preach from the high place? So I explained it to him. He didn't accept it. He came back later on and he said, you should stand there. He said, don't you know 90% of the sheikhs of Al-Azhar don't know what you know? To brag. I have nothing to brag about. As I told you in my little talk to you today, that I haven't discovered any new thing. I've only discovered the old. So I'm not saying that to brag. What I want you to know that you don't have to follow people because they got more beads than you have. You know the beads, the vicar beads, the rosaries, the vicar beads. Because they wear turbans or robes, or because they can speak Arabic and you can't, realize that a light has come in us. And this light is the light that the whole world is admiring and thanking Allah for. You don't see it now, but you'll see it soon. So, dear believers, be happy, be thankful. Be courageous in the position that I'm standing on. Take the position that I've taken. Walk the walk that I walk. Preach the Islam that I preach. If you pick up anything else, you pick up something inferior. Perhaps you can speak more Arabic. But what is the Arabic without the understanding? That's right. So let's be happy and be thankful. And don't go astray from the good things that you've been led to. You were taught to be clean in your mind and in your heart. You were taught to be decent and fair with yourself and others. You were taught not to take up unclean and filthy things. You were taught to dress modestly and to keep your self-respect at home and abroad. Don't fall down now. We've been promised the glory, and now the glory is here. This is the wrong time to start falling backwards. Keep moving forward. And don't grieve and long for bean soup. You can have all the bean soup you want. I have nothing against bean soup. Don't think I have to miss whole wheat bread. I like it too. Brown rice, I like it too. I don't eat pork, never did, because thank Allah, my parents taught me against those things. I don't gamble, I don't drink whiskey. I don't use narcotics. I don't smoke cigarettes. Thank Allah, my parents guided me away from those things. And you have been guided away from those things. So don't fall backwards and claim that you're with something and I have deserted it. Go and ask my friends, have they caught me drinking? Have they caught me committing adultery? Have they caught me committing acts that were condemned by Mawlana Elijah Muhammad? And my friends and associates will tell you, no. So if God has blessed me to obey the best of the Mawlana Elijah Muhammad and to come into the new and get the respect that we are getting now from Muslims of Saudi Arabia, leaders of Saudi Arabia, leaders and Muslims of the Emirates, of Nigeria, of Sudan, of Pakistan, all over the world, then what should you do but stand up and say, thank God that I'm a part of this community. Thank God that our prayers have been answered. We didn't want to be inferior, but we didn't want any false sense of superiority. We wanted our strength to be real. Believe me, our strength is real. And if you think it ain't real, I defy anyone to challenge me. I don't fear anybody. I'm not beneath anybody. You have no reason to fear anybody or to think that you are beneath anybody. And in Islam, the most superior is the closest to Allah in obedience. The one who's closest to Allah in obedience, that is the superior one. So our religion, Islam, it has destroyed racism, destroyed class, discrimination, and all the other ugly things that have burdened us. So be thankful that we are the true Muslims. We have the right understanding, and that we have the health in mind and spirit that is needed to unify our life and also to bring us in unity with the life that we must live as long as we're in America, and that is the American life. Don't want to go to Africa in America. Mawlana Elijah Muhammad said, we don't have to go to Africa. We can live here. And I'm telling you the same thing. But you can't live here with your mind in Africa. And you can't live here with your mind in Arabia. Your mind as a Muslim should be on Al-Islam, on the Quran, on the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. And you should revere, you should respect, have a holy and sacred respect for the righteous monuments that are in Mecca and in Medina. But you should not walk in America as an Arab. You should walk in America as an American. You can't divide yourself, throw your body one place and your mind another place. You must live where you are. Allah bless you. As-salamu alaykum. Takfir! 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 Takfir!